Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You've probably heard someone say something like, "Don't judge," or "Don't judge me." It might be that one person, the person who says, "Don't judge," or "Don't judge me," suspects someone else of judging them. That the other person has made a judgment, has said that one thing is right, one thing is wrong, and more specifically, that one thing that that person is doing is wrong and something else is right. And it would seem that the person who says, "Don't judge," has a pretty good leg to stand on when you look at our gospel reading for today. When Jesus says, "Do not judge," or "Judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not and you will not be condemned." So it seemed that a person should not issue any sort of judgments, should not condemn at all. They would be wrong to do that. Well, let's put this to the test in a few specific examples. Let's say that someone is driving 45 through downtown Ossian, and a police officer pulls them over and starts to issue them a ticket. And the person who's driving 45, knowing this passage, says to the police officer, "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned." Because after all, that police officer has issued a judgment that this person broke the law. Or let's say that someone is on trial because they embezzled millions of dollars, and the judge is going to hand down a sentence them to a certain number of years in prison. And the person says to the judge, "Judge not, condemn not." Should the judge stop doing his job? Should he resign because he's not supposed to judge? Or let's say that a parent has to punish a child, and the child, when he is about to be punished, says to the parents, "Judge not, and you will not be judged. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Now, we know that in all of these situations, each one of those people has to point out where something is right and something is wrong for several different reasons. It's their job. They have to do it for the good of the person there who has done wrong, and also for the good of the whole community. They have to issue some sort of judgment. So then what does this mean here when Jesus says, "Judge not and you will not be judged"? Now, we have to remember that we can't correct Scripture. Scripture doesn't need to be corrected. It has no errors. We don't change it, adjust it based on our own human experience and reason. It says what it says, and we are to understand what it says based on the whole of Scripture. Scripture interprets Scripture. So we don't reinterpret Scripture based on our own experience or on these situations that I've laid out. But we interpret and understand Scripture on the basis of what the rest of Scripture says, on the whole counsel of God. And so if Scripture says we're not supposed to be judges, then maybe we aren't supposed to be judges. But we let God's Word lead and guide us where it leads us, even if that means a radical change in our behavior in our lives. And as we look at the whole of Scripture, we are going to better understand here what Jesus says when he says, "Judge not and condemn not." What are we supposed to do, and how are we supposed to live and act? And as we look in other places in Scripture, we're going to learn a few things. And I'll go first to the book of Ezekiel chapter 3. There in Ezekiel chapter 3, we see that God actually gives the prophet Ezekiel a charge to be like a watchman for the house of Israel. A watchman is supposed to watch for danger. And Ezekiel is supposed to watch for danger, specifically to watch where someone may be living contrary to God's word and may be in danger of God's impending judgment. So the watchman is supposed to then warn the person who is living in sin and contrary to the word of God and is in danger of God's judgment. that they're in trouble, that there's danger because of the way that they are living. And God points out to Ezekiel that if he does not warn the wicked person whom he sees living in sin under God's judgment, if Ezekiel doesn't warn that person, then he is in some way responsible, accountable before God. Ezekiel has to bring a judgment, identify where there is right and where there is wrong. But key here to understanding judgment is to see that it isn't Ezekiel's judgment. He's just the watchman. He's just the messenger. He is saying what God says. He's not issuing his own standard of measurement, his own judgment. He does not come with his own measuring stick and say, this is the way things should be. Kind of like last week when we heard about the Pharisees, who had their own standard of judgment. They had their own traditions that they imposed that were not in line with the Word of God. And Jesus points that out to them at certain points. And they even had the audacity to judge Jesus by their own standard. But their standard was not accurate. It was not the measure of the Word of God. When we issue judgments, we are issuing not our judgment, not our own personal opinions as Christians, but we are issuing the judgment of the Word of God. We're saying what God says. We're using His measuring stick. But this is not all that there is to say about judgment and about what judgment we are supposed to issue and how we are to issue it. When a parent disciplines a child, the parent does it for the good of the child. The parent doesn't want to have to issue a punishment. The parent wants the child to live and behave in a certain way for the good of the child. And the parent knows that if they allow the child to continue in a certain direction, that's going to be harmful for that child in the long run. To use a very obvious example, the parent knows that if they allow the child to run out into the streets, the child could get killed. The parent has to set certain boundaries for the good and the safety of the child, but it applies to so many other areas. The parent has to teach the child that there are boundaries that they cannot go against, that they cannot trespass. Because if they do trespass those boundaries in certain ways, they will do great harm to themselves and to others. And so, the second thing that we have to learn about judgment and proclaiming what God says is not only are we not supposed to issue our own personal opinions apart from the Word of God and say that this is the judgment of God and this is good, but we are to also, when we speak what God says, we are to do it in love. Speak the truth in love. For the good of that person, so that person may repent and believe in Jesus and be saved. We see this especially if you look at the book of James chapter 5. Where James writes, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. James writes and commends the person who brings back someone else from their wandering as they wander from the truth. It's a good thing to bring back a sinner from their wandering because you, as James points out, you save their soul from death, that is eternal death, and cover a multitude of sins. You proclaim to them Jesus, that He is the covering for their sins, the payment for them, so that their sins are wiped away in Jesus Christ And God looks at them in his mercy and grace and forgiveness, and they have eternal life. James commends the person who does this. But notice, in order for a person to bring back someone who is wandering from the truth, that person has to know what God's word says is truth. What is the right way so that they can identify what is wandering from the truth? They have to issue a judgment, but not their own judgment, God's judgment, about where the truth is, where the path is, where the right way is, and where you're wandering off into the woods, where you're going in the wrong direction. And it may seem that that person who issues a warning to someone who is wandering, it may seem that that person, that Christian, is being judgmental. And the person who's wandering might even be tempted to say, "Don't judge me." But Scripture commends the person who is willing to do the hard thing of saying, "You've wandered from the truth," of begging them to come back to the truth of God's word, to recognize their sin, to confess it, and to believe in Jesus and receive forgiveness. And that person who speaks that word that may seem like judgment, may seem like condemnation, that person must do it with gentleness, in kindness, in love, with the goal not of leaving that person in sin, not of putting them down and saying, "See how bad you are," but of proclaiming the law of God with the goal of bringing them the gospel, the good news of forgiveness in Jesus, so that they may see that though they have sinned and done wrong, that there is hope and only hope in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. The person does it in love because they want this other person to be saved and to have new life and to be forgiven, to come to Jesus. But there's a third thing that must be said. After we've pointed out that when we speak God's word, we are not trying to just issue our own opinions, make up our own rules, but speak what God says. That's the first point. Second, that we speak the truth in love, that that person may be saved and have God's mercy. When we speak God's word and we say what God says, the third thing we have to remember, especially as we look at our gospel reading for today, is that we do it in humility as those who have received God's mercy. And this is key. God's mercy shapes and changes everything that we do and say as Christians. Notice that the way that those who have, you know, arranged the lectionary have split things up here when they selected this gospel reading is that they started it with verse 36, where Jesus says that we are to be merciful even as your Father is merciful. It all starts with the mercy of God in Jesus. We start with the fact that we are those who have received mercy. We can understand that. I want to understand what mercy is, in part, at least, by understanding that we are not getting what we deserve. We deserved punishment. We deserved God's wrath, but we're not getting it. We're not getting the punishment that we deserve for our sins. We're instead getting God's grace, his love, his forgiveness, his welcome. We're not getting the condemnation that we deserve. Our Father has been merciful to us. And we are called then to be merciful to others because of what he's done. We do not earn God's mercy and grace and forgiveness, by our mercy, by our not judging or not condemning. We have already received God's mercy and grace and forgiveness. And then we do not speak words of judgment according to our own rules or out of a desire to condemn someone and for them not to receive mercy. But we speak to others as those who have already received mercy, to give them God's mercy and grace and forgiveness. And this is especially seen later in our gospel reading, where Jesus uses this example of logs and specks in people's eyes. There he points out, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye and do not see the log that is in your own eye? He points out that we are to first remove the log from our own eye, and then we'll see clearly to remove the speck that is in our brother's eye. What does this mean? It means that we aren't to amplify our brother's sins and say, those sins are so great, never mind my own sins, but that person really has something to correct, never mind all the problems I've got. But rather, we are to recognize in humility that we are the ones who are sinners. To say with the Apostle Paul, chief of sinners though I be. Chief. Not everyone else is worse than I am, but I'm chief. See how great my sins are. And see how large they are, like a log. And they blind my sight. And I need to confess them first. I need to come to God first, confessing my sins. And then in all humility, come to others, speaking God's word when and where I have the vocation to do so, to speak what God's word says, to turn that person back, but all the while recognizing in humility that I'm a sinner too, that I am coming to that person like a beggar. I'm a beggar for God's mercy and grace. And I'm merely showing some other beggar, some other sinner, where to find bread. Where to find God's mercy and grace in Jesus. That we are both beggars coming before Jesus to receive his grace and mercy. And it is very hard to have this attitude. It is very hard to come in humility. We would much rather focus on someone else's sins and amplify their sins. It is much easier to say, look at that other person and how wasteful they are with all their money. Never mind that the person saying it may actually fall into the sin of being too focused on their money and being too stingy with it and too obsessed with it. Or someone else might say, look at that other person and how they've sinned sexually. Never mind that the person saying it may fail to love their own spouse as they should, or fall into lust. Or someone else may say, oh, look at that other person and how they speak ill of other people and how they slander. Never mind that the person themselves who said this may themselves gossip or slander or not speak well of and defend other people. We don't like to focus on our own sins. We would rather focus on someone else's. But we have to, in all humility, recognize the greatness and the size of our sins, that they are like logs. Confess them, repent of them, and receive God's mercy and offer his mercy and forgiveness to other people. And not think that we are so great that we can withhold God's forgiveness from others. And Jesus points this out to us as well in our passage. Forgive and you will be forgiven, he says. Now this is not to say that in order for us to receive God's forgiveness, we must forgive. God has given us his mercy and grace and forgiveness first. And in response to it, we forgive others. But Scripture is clear that we who have already received God's forgiveness can reject God's forgiveness in Jesus by refusing to forgive others. If we understand that we are beggars telling other beggars where to find bread, that we don't deserve God's mercy and grace and forgiveness, then how can we withhold God's forgiveness from others? How can we turn the cold shoulder to someone else, write them off, and say they're not deserving of any forgiveness? No, instead, we who have received God's mercy and forgiveness in Jesus want to gladly give it out to others because we have received so much forgiveness from our Lord, so much that is undeserved. We want to be merciful because our Heavenly Father is merciful and has had mercy upon us. So what are we to learn from the whole of Scripture about judgment? As we read these words, judge not and you will not be judged, condemn not and you will not be condemned. We are to remember that we are to be merciful as our Heavenly Father is merciful. That we are first to, yes, speak God's word and what God's word says and not make up our own rules and laws. And second, we are to desire that this person receive the same mercy that we have received. And third, we are then to approach other people in humility, recognizing that we have received great mercy. We want them to receive God's mercy and forgiveness. And we are to confess our own sins daily, continually, acknowledging that we are sinners living by the grace of God in Jesus. We are beggars, telling other beggars where to find bread. And thanks be to God that our Lord is patient with us, is patient with us even when we do not want to be patient with others, that he is merciful to us and continues to offer to us his mercy and forgiveness in Jesus, and continues to invite us here every week to receive the forgiveness of our sins so that we can go forth and bestow that mercy and forgiveness on others and invite them to come and receive the same mercy that we have received in Jesus because of his death on the cross for us. Now, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.